Our reading this morning is from Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. You can see here, or you can open up the Bibles and the pews. Verse 43, 1 through 7. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have recommended you, or redeemed you, I'll be okay. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father, as we enter into this time of listening to your word, we realize that we come from all kinds of situations at home, at work, in the school. And some of us are quite engrossed by what's happening in our lives. And so it's going to take a bit of a discipline for us to focus on you and your word. So we pray that you give us the resources to do so. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and you open our ears in order that we may behold wondrous strings out of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, Rock, and Redeemer. And the people said, Amen. It was the first time I was ever in an ambulance. It was a long 30 minutes from our house to the hospital. It was Thursday evening at around 9 p.m. I was preparing the devotion for our email update, and so I was looking down on the laptop and typing. And as I was doing it, I moved my neck, and somehow I probably twisted it, and I suddenly felt the pain on the back of my neck. And you know, I take things for granted and think that it's just one of those normal things that occurs to you by an irregular pain in the back of my neck. So I carried on with what I was doing. I heard the two beeps occur in the washer machine very close to the desk. So I went to move to put the clothes from the washer into the dryer. And as I did that, I think I must have aggravated my neck even more. So as the pain in my neck was not subsiding, I went to my bed upstairs to rest. And as I lay horizontal on the bed, I discovered that I was having difficulty moving my hands and my feet. I called out to Laurie that this was happening. We decided to call the ambulance. The ambulance came within 10 minutes, and by that time, I had lost all movement of my arms and legs. I was thankful that I could still wriggle my neck, all painful as it was. And so because I could not move my arms and my feet, they had to carry me via a special wheelchair down the staircase and put me into the ambulance. It was the first time I was ever in an ambulance. It was a long 30 minutes from our house to the hospital. And during that trip to the hospital, I began to start moving my arms and my legs again. I was so happy that I was able to lift up my arm and lift up my foot in the ambulance. And by the time I was on the portable bed at emergency waiting to sign in, I regained the full use of my body, including the arms and the legs. And I cannot express the joy I felt just to be able to wriggle my toes again. You know, the things we take for granted, and I took it for granted to be able to wriggle my toes. After my first set of blood tests, I was surprised to see Pastor Ian McWinnie of Glenbrook Church waiting for me. He and I have become good friends in the last 3 years during my transition from my previous church to the Presbyterian Church in Canada. Laurie had called him earlier at home to let him know what was happening. He had something on that night, and he moved from that social engagement straight to the emergency ward. Ian prayed with me. The CT scans, the x-rays, and the blood tests showed that there was nothing abnormal happening. So we went home at 5 a.m. after 7 hours in the hospital. So immediately after returning from the hospital, I began to type out my thoughts on this experience. And the words of Isaiah 43, verse 2 came to me. Now, there's a story to me understanding and appreciating Isaiah 43, verse 2. Around 7 or 8 years ago, I had a friend who was going in for a massive cancer operation. And before she went into the hospital, I met and prayed with her. And she shared with me these words, this Isaiah 43, verse 2. And so, after having an experience in the hospital, the thoughts of Isaiah 43, verse 2 came to me. And it's amazing how, according to the lectionary readings for today, we have Isaiah 43 scheduled to be read in the church. Can we read Isaiah 43, verse 2 together? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So Isaiah 43 is actually written in a time when Israel is not in a good place. Israel has just been conquered by Babylon. Young men like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are deported as slaves to Babylon. And there was this huge, massive burning of Jerusalem and the temple that occurred. People lost their lives. Israel is in exile. Israel is so far away from home. Israel is no longer in the land that God had brought them to after Egypt. So we all read a little bit about the Exodus in the fall. After slavery in Egypt and the miraculous rescue of Moses and Israel at the Red Sea, God brings Israel to the land of promise. And it is then that God makes a covenant, a promise with Israel. He promises that he will bless them and make them prosperous, provided they keep close to God and keep his law. And so after appearing to Abraham, Jacob, and Moses, God makes that covenant with Israel. And Israel is the people descended from Abraham and Jacob. So this is God's covenant with Israel found in Exodus chapter 19. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And the idea of being a kingdom of priests means they are the priest to the rest of the nations of the world. So God promises that if Israel keeps his law and obeys him, they will become a kingdom of priests. In other words, they will be a light to the whole earth. They will be a light to the nations of the earth. The nations of the earth will know of God, Yahweh, through the covenantal faithfulness of Israel. However, after 800 years in this land of promise, it is quite clear to God that Israel has failed to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Israel has failed to be a light to the nations of the world. We have read Isaiah 43, and in Isaiah 42, God says that Israel is now blind and deaf to God's covenant. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant? And deaf like the messenger I sent? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me? Blind like the servant of the Lord. Isaiah 42, 18 and 19. So Israel does not fully keep God's covenant. God allows King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to conquer Israel. And the cream of Israel is brought to Babylon as slaves. Israel loses their land and their people dispersed. When you read the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, and it is exactly what it is, lament, lamentations. And when you read the book of Lamentations, you will see that the Bible is a very, very human book, because it talks about mothers losing their sons, and it talks about the bloodshed that Israel had to go through when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem. The Bible is not afraid to talk about the horrors of life, but the Bible also gives hope, which we are about to see. And so, therefore, when God says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. Israel might doubt God. There has been so much pain and suffering in their lives. Will God truly come through for us? Will God save us? And so this is how Isaiah 43 starts. And let us read this together, because it forms the basis of our identity as a people of God. Let's read Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So, this is, in summary, if you like, the whole of the Old Testament. God tells Israel that he not only created them, he formed them. And in Genesis chapter 12, when there is no hope for humanity because the flood of Noah has just occurred, and you read that humanity is becoming extremely corrupted, God appears to Abraham. And God tells Abraham, leave your country and go to the place where I will take you. And then from Abraham comes Isaac. And Isaac, too, has to leave his land. And Isaac is, when you read the story of Isaac, you actually feel that God is very gracious to Isaac, because Isaac actually cheats. He cheats his future father-in-law. If you read the story, he is a crook. And yet, God still is gracious to him. And God is involved in a wrestle with Jacob in Genesis 32. And Jacob, this rascal, he's really a rascal, he clings on to God as he is crippled by God. And as he clings on to God, he says to God, unless you bless me, I will not let go of you. That is faith. That is faith. And so God then blesses Jacob and gives him a new name, Israel. 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 He who struggles with God. El is Elohim, the word for God, the general word for God in the Old Testament, Israel, one who struggles with God, he who struggles with God. And so the Old Testament is a story of Israel, the people of God who struggle with God. There is one feature in the Old Testament that is very real. Abraham does not choose God, but God chooses Abraham. Jacob does not choose God, but God chooses Jacob and renames him Israel. Moses does not choose God, but God chooses Moses. Pi does not choose God, but God chooses Pi. St. Andrew Streetsville does not choose God, but God chooses St. Andrew's Streetsville. Today you are here because God has chosen you. And God has appointed you to be part of this family. But as we read the Old Testament, Abraham, Jacob, and Moses must go through their journeys and sometimes being displaced from their homes to discover God's purpose for them. And it's the same with Israel in exile right now. Right now, Israel's in Babylon and is trying to discover God's purpose for their lives. And when this is happening, God gives them these words in Isaiah 43. I have created you. I have formed you. Do not fear. You might be away from home right now, but I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. And it's in the biblical record. 40 years after King Nebuchadnezzar conquers and burns down Jerusalem and the temple, King Nebuchadnezzar himself is conquered by another king, King Cyrus of Persia. And then out of the blue, in the book of Ezra, King Cyrus says this. He makes a decree that the Jews can return to Jerusalem and build their temple. Ezra chapter 1. These words are found in Ezra chapter 1. This is what Cyrus, King of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. May their God be with them. Within 40 years, within a generation, Israel is now able to return to Jerusalem to build the temple. God brings Israel home. And so there's this part of Isaiah 43 that I would like us to read because it really talks about finding a home and God bringing them back home. Let's read together Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. I was so happy to return home from the hospital that morning and to sleep on the bed, not sleep on a hospital bed. And of course, I did not sleep that night because the morning light was about to come up in 2 hours. I reached home at 5:30 a.m. However, I had this sense in me that when I went through the waters and the fire earlier, God was with me. And somehow, Yin being there reminded me that God was around. That I was not alone when I passed through the waters, when I passed through the fire. want to talk about a home. A broken down mansion is becoming a home for broken souls. A mansion in Southington Township, Ohio, that was the former home of heavyweight boxer, champion boxer Mike Tyson, was donated several years ago to Living Word Sanctuary Church. Since then, church members have been cleaning up the property bit by bit in a bid to reclaim it for the Lord's work and hope to have it ready by the beginning of 2019 now. Pastor Nicholas spoke to the local newspaper about this fortuitous blessing. The property has been untouched for 10 years. You had so much grass, you could have sold it for hay. Local records say that Tyson owned the property between 1989 and 1999, and it was a refuge for him in 1995 after having served prison time. That's Pastor Nicholas. We heard that there were some crazy parties here. At 25,000 square feet, the property is a huge step from the YMCA where the church currently holds services. The indoor pool area has become a sanctuary. The four-car garage will become areas for youth ministry and childcare. And the second floor will house the church offices and the living conferences. Pastor Nicholas is convinced that this windfall is a work of God, is a work of divine providence. I tell everyone, this was meant for us. It came out of nowhere, and now we are able to move from the YMCA to this former house of Mike Tyson. Now, there needs to be a lot of fixing up to do, granted, but God has given us a new place, a new opportunity, a new breath of fresh air. So in the past, and I still remember on the first day that I came to preach at this church, I took an informal poll, and I'm going to take it right now. And there's a difference between those people who are born in North America and those people who are born outside North America. So I'm going to take the poll as I usually do. So can you put up your hand if you were born in North America? Okay, these are the people who were born in North America. Now, can you put up your hand if you are born not in North America? Please put up your hand. Okay? It always goes like this. I mean, being the Speaker of the House, I deem it my right to make this informal counting. 50% of our congregation was born in North America. 50% of our congregation comes from outside North America. Whether we are born in North America or whether we are born outside North America, God has gathered us from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. A fulfillment of Isaiah 43. And God has called us to be one family. And God has brought us from so many spots in the world to be part of this church family. And as I talk to a lot of you, you will say that you have found home here. However, we also know, and we have been discussing and praying about this last year, that what God is doing something in our church family. And the word after last year is this word, change. Like Mike Tyson's old house, we are being changed by God to become something new in the future. Now, a little bit about this something new in the future. When Abraham started off from his home, when Jacob started off from his home, or when Moses started off from his home, they had no idea as to where God was taking them to. They knew that God wanted to move them to a place where God had prepared for them, but it was not crystallized in their thoughts yet where this place would be or what this place would look like. All they had to go by were the words of God. To Abraham, leave your country and go to the place I prepared for you. And that is the same journey that we are on as a church in 2019. We are leaving 2018, and we have left 2018 and all those years behind us. And we are moving to a new promised land. We know that God has called us, and we know that His words are with us. But don't ask me what that new place looks like. All we know is that we are being changed. And all we know is that at the end of the day, when we reach their destination, we will become a different people. And I pray that we will become a people that makes an impact in the community around us. One of the words we've been floating is this word missional. Perhaps a better word would be this word relational. Whatever it is, we need to see that the life that God is calling us into is beyond the Sunday morning, is beyond what we do here on a Sunday morning. Because I truly believe, and you will hear this, and I've said this in uncertain terms, and I said this when I did the announcements, worship might start at 10:30 here, but when we leave at 11:45 or whenever we leave, and when we move into that coffee hour, or when you take your car and drive home, worship still happens. Worship doesn't end when we do the benediction. The benediction is actually an empowerment for the rest of our lives. And so, when you have to talk to that idiotic boss on Monday morning who is trying to get you to do unethical things, you are actually worshiping God. When you are struggling in your lessons at school and trying to figure out what these words mean, you actually worship God. We worship on Monday as well as Sunday. And so, last year, we talked about change, and slowly God is moving us into a place where we are all pretty a little bit anxious about, because we do not know what it looks like, but we are in good company. We have Abraham and Jacob and Moses with us, telling us we didn't know where we were going to, but God is leading us. So this is the year of what I call the year of transition. We're going to be praying these things through at Session and FNM, and we're going to see what God makes of us. And we pray that whatever it is, we will be faithful to the calling that God has given to us. Let's pray. So Lord, please be with us. We know that you are a faithful God, even though we might be unfaithful. And we know, Lord, that you are the one who is going to be with us. And we'd like to thank you for these words. When we go through the waters, you are with us. When we go through the fire, you are with us. So our prayer this morning is, be with us, Lord, as we go forth from here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen.